This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Yeah, welcome to the program. You're truly here, the Brock Purdy of radio host. I'm a radio manager is what I am, radio manager. Welcome to the beautiful Fountain Blue Hotel, the newest luxury resort on the Las Vegas Strip, just opened in December, and they are our host. We're poolside here with a great studio audience that came as far away as Henderson, Nevada, which is about 10 miles away. Yeah.
Thoughts and prayers.
This is a loyal audience. I don't know what time they got up to get here, but people came all the way from Henderson, Nevada. So thank you for doing that. Road trip. We'll talk to Mike Golic Sr., Mike Golic Jr. They'll join us coming up here in a little bit. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at DP Show. We have gift bags today for our in-studio guest, courtesy of Keeper's Heart Whiskey, Good Ranchers, Miller Lite, the original Louisiana brand hot sauce, King's Hawaiian, and Traeger Grills. Yes, we brought the Traeger Grills here. Chad is over there whipping up a batch. We got great food. You know, he sent me. Did you guys see the menu here?
Oh, that's not fair. You got advanced look?
I did. Well, I got, okay, here we go. This is the menu today. Z-Man smoked brisket sandwich.
Nobody.
No, hold on. Not done yet. Grilled California chicken club sandwich, smoked fried chicken wings, buffalo chicken dip, jalapeno popper dip, pepperoni pizza rolls, loaded beef tachos. Those are tater tots and nachos. Tachos?
Oh, my God.
I remember her.
All of that. What?
Whoa. Sorry, go ahead.
Her tot-tots?
Whoa.
So, who has it better than we do?
Nobody.
All righty. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of this program. All right. Poll question, Seton. What did we go with hour one? And then we'll turn our attention to hour two.
Well, we got two working from hour one, Dan. Who ends up in the Fountain Blue pool? If you think Dan will, right now the likes, not as many.
Okay.
But Fritzy leading with 48% of the vote. Okay. That's not exactly shocking.
Yeah.
That the T-O-double-D would end up in the pool.
Yeah. We got to give the fans what they want.
Accidentally. By the way, if you're watching on Peacock, thank you, our streaming partner, Todd. That is
my aluminum foil Elvis. Costume.
Yes, yes. Looks like it fits you well. I mean,
it's extremely tight, actually.
That's tailored, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, Paul.
But Todd looks like one of those guys who runs a New York marathon and they put that silver wrap around him at the end. But he doesn't look like a guy who ran a marathon. He looks like a guy with a wrap on.
Yeah. It's snug.
Yeah. What else do you have for me, Seton?
Are the Kansas City Chiefs America's team, Dan? Right now, 84% of the audience are furious at that poll question.
Maybe that means they are.
A lot of people said no, that means they're not America's team. And a lot of people writing in Michigan are now America's team. That's bold.
That's not true.
That is bold.
That is not true.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, I think Kansas City, I understand why they might be. They're maybe the most popular team right now. Yes, Marvin.
In about 20 years, all these 10-year-olds that love the Chiefs now, in 20 years, they'll be rooting for the Chiefs when they're sorry.
Well, no. We got to make sure that Taylor and Travis stay together, because if they break up, the Swifties are gone.
See ya.
So, okay, if the Swifties leave the Chiefs, what would be the polar opposite of the Chiefs?
Whoever Taylor starts dating after that.
Right.
I mean,
so Max Crosby
could be a Cowboy.
Right.
Oh, Raider fan.
Just thinking.
Maybe she ends up with the a Vegas residency, and then all of a sudden she's a Raiders fan.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't know. That could happen. I can see her doing that.
Dating Aiden O'Connell or something. Is that the Raiders quarterback for the time being?
Good call by you on that.
Thank you, Todd. Thank you. I do this for a living. You know that. Yeah.
You said it kind of quizzically, like, I think, maybe.
I know. Sometimes I do that.
You do that.
It's rhetorical.
It's your shtick.
Like, I know it, but I say it like I don't know it.
I think I've worked with you a while. I would know what you're
I mean, technically, we all do this for a living, and there's no way I was pulling that name out.
And also, the Raiders have had 3 offensive coordinators this week, so we don't really know what's going on over there.
Yeah.
Did Cliff Kingsbury get the job? He stayed with the Raiders as long as he did USC, didn't he?
Yeah, his first stint at USC, he did 3 days and then took the job with the Arizona Cardinals. I think he did 72 hours as the offensive coordinator of the Raiders, left his car running, and now he's with the Washington Commanders.
Okay, where's Eric Bieniemy? Wasn't he the offensive coordinator with the Commanders?
He was hot about 3 years
ago. Yes, he was. All right, it's one of our big stories that we started off with today, and it happened on Friday. And Paulie and I were talking about this over the weekend. I was like, wow, like that news came out on Friday afternoon that the Big Ten and the SEC are kind of friends. There's a partnership, it feels like, here. Nicole Arbach, senior writer for The Athletic and College Football Insider, wrote about this. And we thought, you know what? That's how big this story is. At least I think it is, of where we're headed. And Nicole joins us on the program. Nicole, thanks for joining us. Explain what happened on Friday. I think I'm having audio problems with you, Nicole. Hold on. Let me see if we can get that figured out here. But this came on Friday, and trying to figure out if this was going to lead to something here in the near future, and that's why we wanted to have Nicole on. But we'll figure this out since we are on the road and trying to get signals uncrossed here.
It's really a fascinating thing because, Friday is where stories, Dan, in the sports media, is where you want to place a story that you don't want to get a lot of coverage. It's almost like the SEC and Greg Sankey, when he tweeted this out, they posted it and then, like, that's also leading into Super Bowl week. It's like we want to make this official that there's a partnership, but we want to go revert back into the night and let it just be out there. That's the feeling I got.
Well, sometimes you put out a story and then you want to see how people react to the story. And that might be the case in a situation like that. But also, what does it mean going forward with the Big Ten and the SEC? And I think, when you start to look at college football with what is the blueprint right now for college football of where they want to be now, where, now you have a 12-team playoff. And where, what that's going to mean here as we, in the next 5 years. Yes, Paul?
And it could be interesting. A lot of people, when all these changes happening, were bothered to be like, the Pac-12 volleyball team would now have to, go play Rutgers and travel around the country. It may take a few years for this to shake back out. But like Seton was saying earlier, we may revert back to normal conferences and normal travel schedules for the rest of college athletics in a couple of years. It may take a while to shake out with college football.
But you know what? Chip Kelly brought this up, and Chip said, why are we going all around the country? Why don't we have all the other sports be regional, where it's baseball, and you can even say basketball, but baseball and volleyball and some of the other ancillary sports, golf, where you're not traveling all over the world, to try to play these schools in your conference here, that you're able to, kind of make it sane. For the most part, for these kids. Football, I get, you're going for one game on Saturday. The other sports, you got all kinds of games that you might be playing and, trying to travel. It just doesn't make any sense.
And it's really going to be interesting because Greg Sankey, who runs the SEC, it almost feels like he's about to be the czar, the president of college football in America.
Well, it feels like he's the most important person in college football right now. I think that would be fair to say. And we've said this before, he should just say, look, I'm running college football.
And he lets others say it.
Yeah, and that's where we're headed. Greg Sankey is going to be running college football. I truly believe that. It's because, he's the power broker with the SEC. Now you get the Big Ten. Are we going to get Nicole on with us?
I think they're still working on a technical issue.
Okay.
In the control room.
All right. Should we maybe try to have her come on at some other point there, Todd?
It's going to probably become that situation any moment.
Okay. All right. Do we have Nicole? Are we good to go? All right, Nicole, let's try this again. Big introduction for you. Senior writer for The Athletic and College Football Insider. What happened on Friday, Nicole? Nope, it didn't happen again. All right. Well, Nicole, blame it on me.
Is Carrot Top still around?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Maybe the goal
ask
is...
Ask him what's going on in college football.
Yeah. No, we don't need music. No, we're looking for Nicole Auerbach. Yeah. No, we still
the
don't
music
need music.
Is nice,
yeah,
though.
Music is nice. Yeah.
It's calming.
Yeah, very calming.
It's like a good elevator. They've been jamming in the elevator.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
They have this song. So when in the Fountain Blue Hotel, when you go in, your TV is on in your room, and they have this lovely thing that says, "Welcome, Seton O'Connor. Welcome, Paul Papps." But then they have this music playing, and it's like they recorded it, yeah. And it's like a lounge singer going, "Welcome to I can't sing."
At the Fountain Blue,
all your dreams will come true.
At the Fountain Blue, and I just leave it on for hours at a time. It's very soothing.
It's all because of you.
See, this is what happened when we have a technical issue, and then I'm subjected to that. That you know.
Okay, all right.
Wait.
Okay, oh, that sounds.
That sounds like Nicole.
Wait, okay. Is that Nicole?
Okay.
Nicole.
Yeah, can you hear me?
We get it.
Okay. Let's do the show.
Sorry, Nicole, we ran out of time, so I can't talk to you. Okay, let me try this again. What happened on Friday, Nicole?
Well, as you guys were talking about, it was kind of a formal announcement of friendship and a partnership between the Big Ten and the SEC. You know, they have been growing closer, and the commissioners have been getting along, spending a lot of time together over the last year since Tony Petitti took over the Big Ten. And the ADs in both leagues bounce things off of each other because these are two conferences who face similar challenges, right? Like they're dealing with the same types of budgets. They're dealing with the same types of lawsuits. So they're essentially forming this joint advisory group to look at those issues, the lawsuits that they're facing, employment model, what happens if athletes become employees, and some of those bigger problems that college sports is facing. A lot of people, including Greg Sankey, have lamented the lack of leadership, and certainly a lack of leadership from the NCAA. So I think that's what this is really about, is about these two commissioners, these two conferences trying to take the lead and figure out the future of college sports.
Now, there's a line or a paragraph in your column and said there are legal risks that come with too much collaboration now that two conferences represent 34 total schools. So those critical relationships will need to walk a fine line between cooperation and collusion. Explain that.
Right. So that's one of the issues when you are the subject of a lot of lawsuits right now, and there's just a lot of bullseye on your back. And I think, you know, part of the reason that the NCAA has been a target or individuals have been targeted by different lawsuits is that they're agreeing to cap compensation or they're agreeing to have certain rules and that they are restricting the market, right? So I think, you know, when they say, okay, we're going to make certain rules are going to be up to individual schools, like NIL or conferences could set rules around certain things. It's a small enough group of people and schools that they're hoping to avoid the legal risks involved. So that's part of the concern here. And I think, again, a joint advisory group, it's a governing body that isn't governing anything, right? They're going to work together, but they're not going to have any power. So they're going to lead, they're going to suggest things. But again, I think they're being really strategic here because they're fighting a lot of different lawsuits that are worth a lot of money, but they want to create some sort of solutions that are workable for their schools. And obviously they're dealing with that top 1% of athletes that are making the most money off of NIL, that are going to run into issues with these major lawsuits about back pay, salaries. They've got those football players that are the ones who are stressing the system in terms of money. So they want to be the ones creating solutions instead of Charlie Baker and the NCAA suggesting things that they maybe or maybe don't want to pay for.
But if you look at the blueprint here, and I've been saying all along, it's not a question of if but when, that we get this model that may be similar to the Premier League or the NFL, that we're going to get maybe 50 of the biggest schools, football schools, and then they just create a model where you have divisions and conferences here. Do you see a time frame where that's where we're headed?
You know, I've felt that way for a while. I think a lot of people do. We're in this gray area as we are going from how it used to be for a really long time to what it will eventually be. It's part of the reason I don't get too worked up about NIL issues, because this is not going to be the business model that we end up with in 5-10 years. We're waiting for that final domino to fall. But I do think that at some point you will have to separate or sort of opt into the highest level of commitment in football, because not everyone's going to be able to afford to fund it. And especially if you have to pay all your athletes, let's say the Johnson case, which is working its way through the court system, if that's the domino, then every athlete is like, okay, we're hourly wage employees. That's every single sport. So who can afford to do that and still invest in football on the highest level? I think there's a lot of different creative ideas that are out there, but I think everyone has kind of come to the terms that it's not going to look like what it is now. You're not going to have 133 FBS programs in the same, quote, highest level of college football. It will be who can pay their players if they're employees and then still pay their coaches and then still have the great resources. So there will be a further stratification of what already exists, I think, in college football. I don't know what the timeline is, because we have to let all of these things play out here in terms of what the actual financial and the business model of college sports looks like. But even in the suggestion from new NCAA president Charlie Baker of a new subdivision, it's the same sort of idea. It's like, all right, if you can afford to pay your athletes a minimum of $30,000 each per year for half your athletes, you opt into this level. That would cull the voting rolls, right? That would separate out the people who can't actually afford to do things but are too afraid to drop down a level right now. So I think you have to let some of that play out before we eventually get to a new world. And, you know, Dan, just to further that point, I would love to see a re-regionalization of all the other sports. I would love to see football pulled out separately and do football schedules, do all of that on its own, but go back to some of those rivalries and the tradition and the reduced travel for all of the other sports.
Thanks for being a good sport, Nicole. Thanks for joining us. We'll do better next time, I promise.
Thanks for having me.
That's Nicole Arbach, a senior writer for The Athletic and College Football Insider, Big Ten Network studio analyst as well. Yes, Paul?
I got to tell you, she seemed pretty impressed with our organization.
Yes, she did. She's like, I want to work for those guys.
On the Dan Patrick Show Super Bowl week? What an honor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty impressed.
Yeah. Pretty impressed.
Take that, Athletic.
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah.
I'd like to know what was going on behind the scenes.
Gets a little chaotic in TV control.
It does?
It does a little bit. You've had a little taste of that.
Do you think some people are getting yelled at?
I think people are getting yelled at. There's maybe language involved.
Were you getting yelled at?
I was not personally getting yelled at.
Okay.
But, feels like it was Todd's fault, but
it does end up coming back towards me, but that's all right. But it does get intense.
Yes, Marvin.
You say you want to hear what happened back there?
Yeah.
No, I don't. No.
You've been back there before.
Oh, I've been back there, yeah.
Okay.
You said you potted it up. What do you do? You hit the wrong button. I can't hear anything.
But even if it's not you, it's always awkward. Like, whew. But also you're like, I'm glad I'm not him.
If people got a chance, see, that's what they should do. They should give you a look at what goes on during a football game, big-time football game, where the director, and nobody's supposed to take it personally, but, you know, when he's telling you to do something and it doesn't happen, and then all of a sudden there's just flame, it's a flamethrower. And then when it's all said and done, everybody gets together, and they're supposed to go, yeah, you know, he called me some words that, you know, I never use that language, but I'm supposed to forget about it. Yes, Seton.
That when I first started at ESPN, I worked on a boxing show called Friday Night Fights. Yeah. I don't even know if they still do that anymore. Yeah. I had never worked in TV before ever, and I was a production assistant. And my very first show, the director was screaming at the three production assistants, calling us every name you could possibly, where I was like, holy crap, this is what TV is. This is crazy. He was like, A this, and you MF that, and all of these crazy things. And then as soon as the show was over, he's like, hey, guys, great job tonight. I'm like, dude, do you have any idea what you just said to me? He's like, hey, guys, great job tonight, all right? Not bad for your first run.
Yeah. What? Well, that prepared you for this job.
Okay, some similarities.
Yes, Tom.
I was doing graphics and video, and like, you put the wrong Chiron up. He's talking about Pro Bowls, and you're putting up a stat about an All-Star game, whatever. And then they had me working video where they're talking about a certain play, and you got to queue up the video and get ready to play it. And I guess there's a difference between standby B and roll B. Yeah. So the director is standby B, and I hit the button, and they're showing the video. You didn't even get a chance to bring it up yet.
What part is standby?
I just got so nervous. Stand by me. I didn't say roll me. Stand by me. Then it's roll.
You would be the wrong guy to work in the truck.
Actually, it was a taped interview, and they were able to clean it up. But
yes, Paul.
Same story. I was working at CBS. We were on a college football production truck, and I was helping out with some stats that were going to go on the screen for the graphics people. I gave him something wrong, and the big boss from CBS, who you don't want the phone to ring, there's a red phone, like a bat phone, it rings, and I was in charge of picking it up. That's my level of responsibility. I pick it up, I go, production, Paul, and I hear, let me talk to anybody but you. And I was like, I better go get my resume together.
How about we take a break there, you know? How about we take a break?
We salvaged the hell out of that segment.
We survived, is what we did.
Super Bowl week has officially started.
Yeah, yeah. Come on now, shake it off. You know what? That's like throwing a first quarter interception.
Yeah.
We rally. Nobody's going to remember that. Except for Nicole Arbach. Going to go, geez, those guys are unprofessional. We'll prove that even again. Mike Golic Sr., Mike Golic Jr. will join us coming up next. We'll take a break back from the Fountain Blue after this.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, gang, this is Jay Glazer, host of Unbreakable, a mental wealth podcast. And every week we will have on leaders from sports, entertainment, like Sean McVay, Lindsey Vonn, Michael Phelps, David Spade, Guy Fieri, and also those who could help us in between the ears. Anyone from a therapist to someone like Ed Milet or John Gordon. We've all been through some sort of adversity. To get to the top, we've all used different tools. Listen to Unbreakable with Jay Glazer and Mental Wealth Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for time tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know I mean? Even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling. Only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
When it comes to live sports on Peacock, there's no off-season. Stream nonstop action all year long. Big Ten basketball, the Premier League, PGA Tour, and so much more. The biggest games, best players, and moments that you can't miss live on Peacock. You can also see this program as well on Peacock Monday through Friday. Our next guest, longtime friends of the program, that said, there was a point in my life where one Mike Golic was more than enough, and now we have two of them. And I better be careful because they could easily beat me up. They're probably saving that for Mike Greenberg. So please welcome Mike Golic and Mike Golic Jr. Mike Sr. and Jr. co-host of Gojo and Golic on DraftKings Network. Big Mike, Little Mike, although Little Mike is Big Mike.
Yeah, yeah. It's changed. I have a bone to pick with you.
Alrighty.
First off, congratulations. I just saw a publication that said you're the number one national sports show in the country. Dan Patrick,
wow.
Number one.
Okay.
That's not the bone to pick with you. Number two is Fritzy got $100 for me and Mike for being on the show. He said we had to pay to be on your show because you're number one.
Yes.
So what the hell is that?
I'm big now.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's all right. Clearly.
Yeah.
All right.
Big Mike, Little Mike, Big Dan.
Big Dan.
That's what I was known in high school was Big Dan.
Yeah, in your mind. Right.
Yes, I am. All righty, here they are. Good to see you guys.
You too.
Number one topic this week is what now and what do you think it will be by Super Bowl?
Mike, where does Taylor Swift fit into that?
Right now, number one, considering the Grammys last night, I would say. I mean, but the Tavis thing has been the big story of most of this season. So I'd say that lead dogs the week here, and then we'll give way to football as the week goes on.
Yeah, that's always the interesting thing, as obviously, Dan, as you know as well. You try and talk as little football in the beginning of the week to kind of crescendo to it.
Though
I will say, in doing shows, as I was listening to you talk to Nicole Arbach, who's fantastic, I immediately started thinking of me and Mike's show later on today going, boy, I'm going to fight back. And I started thinking of topics to talk about, anything but the Super Bowl, you know, and still wait until later in the week.
But also you have to play the hits.
Oh, yes.
As we know, being at ESPN, they tell you to play the hits there. And sometimes it's fun to just take, you know, that off the beaten path and say, let's go down that road. I think what's happening in college football is, I mean, it's going to be transcendent. It's going to happen. The question is when and what is it going to look like? Your thoughts on that?
You know, I looked at, didn't we, as I heard Nicole talking, didn't we have the Pac-12, the Big Ten, and the ACC all arm in arm saying we're all
the
friends
alliance.
Now?
Never forget.
The alliance until, and how great that was going to work until it doesn't, and everybody's on their own then? Well, I look at the Big Ten now and the SEC as two prom kings out there saying, hey, let's take over the world together until we're not, until something benefits one more than the other, especially when a Greg Sankey is involved, because he's going to answer to nobody. So I always have a little trepidation when I hear people are getting together, alliances are getting together. I know you feel differently. That's the fun of battling my young, wrong son.
I think we just all see where this is going, and it's one of those, I don't know how we get there, but I'm pretty sure I know where the destination is, and it's the one super conference to rule them all that we've been whispering about forever. And when the two premier, I mean, think about how long now we've already been referencing it as the power two in college football. Like, it's the Big Ten and the SEC's world at this point. And so the fact that the two prom kings have started talking at a time where you've got lawsuits running rampant, where as soon as the NCAA tries to step in and regulate anything regarding name, image, and likeness of the changing world of college football, everyone's ready to sue because they know there are attorney generals that know that their constituency is all going to love this, and you've got the higher courts that are always going to rule in favor of players, and the schools are realizing, and the power conferences are realizing, hey, we don't have to play by your rules anymore because no one has power in this sport. It has existed largely lawlessly for a long time. The NCAA's tried to come in every once in a while and corral stuff, but It never really has been governed by anyone, and so there's a great chance to create power out of nowhere.
We're talking to Mike Golic Sr., Mike Golic Jr., and they are the co-host of Gojo and Golic on DraftKings Network. You know, Patrick Mahomes has gotten into that category where we did this morning before we came on. We're like, how many conference championships has he been to? Like, when you start to forget, like LeBron, Tom Brady, wait, Brady's got, oh, 7 Super Bowls. Like, you get into that category there, and that's when you know you've made it. When we forget how many you've been to, how many you've won. Is Mahomes the second greatest quarterback of all time right now?
See, I want to hold off on that because me being, you know, one of the older people, how many people remember Johnny Unitas or some of the great quarterbacks back in the day?
Here we go.
Exhibit A.
I mean, I did not realize you were going to get a Johnny Unitas reference
there
already.
There was great quarterback play decades ago,
That's
right?
Sid Luckman. Man, I remember him.
There was football in the year 2000. I mean, but seriously, I get laughed at when I say that, but how do you judge all of that, right? We're in a stats world
what
now.
What about ability? Greatest ability.
Well, I mean, listen, you look at athletes back in the day to now, they're just better athletes, but that always doesn't make them better. But with Pat, you're getting that rare combination of he's a better athlete than a lot of quarterbacks and better than a lot of quarterbacks. Am I going to put him in the top two right now? No, I'm going to wait because I'm going to give the players before him the benefit of the doubt of their longevity. Okay, Pat's been great right out of the gate, but let's let it continue to happen. I don't know if he'll get to Tom's statistical area of postseasons and Super Bowls. So I'm going to wait on that. But look, I'll put it this way. He's in the team picture right now.
But with their longevity, most of them have not accomplished what he's done and the way he's done it. And that's always the differentiator for me is because we're going to have a very, and some people call it lazy, the comparison with Tom Brady and us wanting to fast track him for that, but that's earned, not given. Like you pointed out, he's 28 and we're already forgetting stuff that he did. That's insane. It shouldn't be happening. And because of that, and because he's been the driving force, this has been the first year where it's like, oh, they're, you know, defense and a run game, and Pat's got to make plays every once in a while. It was him to start. He was the thing that drove the ship out of the gate and is now getting the cavalry to come help, which is why I think he deserves a lot more place in that conversation than maybe you want to give him.
We were talking about this morning as well, that in 20 years from now, do we find those Kansas City Chiefs who were kind of, it was spawned now in the last 5 years or so, or even now with Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, like it was with the Cowboys in the 70s, Packers in the 60s. A lot of our fan bases are based off what happened in the 70s or the 60s. Steelers, Cowboys, Packers, Niners.
Right.
And now you have the Kansas City Chiefs. The Patriots were never America's team.
No.
Boston's team, but never America's team. But is Kansas City capable of being America's team?
Well, I think part of it is how are you looked at? Are you looked at as somebody you want to see beaten, or are you looking at like, I like these people? Bill, you know, doing his press conferences, he wasn't endearing himself to anybody. Tom was doing it the Bill Belichick way and not saying anything until he got to Tampa Bay, and then all of a sudden he broke out a little bit. Who doesn't love Andy Reid? By the way, Andy's not getting enough talk either. This guy's walking straight into the Hall of Fame as well for what he's doing. Mahomes is fun. Travis Kelce has always been fun, and now the whole Taylor Swift thing as well. They're kind of a fun team to follow, but Dan, you know this. We've been doing this a long time. You love a team on the rise and when they're at the top for a little bit, and then, man, you want to see darts thrown at them. You want to see them come crashing down.
It's like when you have your favorite band. You know, I remember seeing them at Toad's Place, and then all of a sudden you're like, yeah. They're playing the garden. I hate them now.
Exactly. So I do think they are really likable right now, even lovable to a point, especially the whole Taylor Swift thing is added in there. I've been so disgusted with our football people who have had a problem with that. I'm just like, God, leave it alone.
Why? I mean, why do people have a problem?
I have no idea. Do you remember when Jessica Simpson was shown all the time when she was dating Tony Romo? We never heard any of
this.
She
wasn't shown nearly enough.
No. There you go.
We also did hear a lot of this back then, by the way. People have never... The knuckle-dragging football crowd has never really liked women invading their space in any meaningful
Didn't
way.
Didn't they go to Cancun at one point? Scandal. He's not focused on the game. Yeah.
But that was the quarterback of the Cowboys going to Cancun, and he cost the Cowboys, you know, in their mind. Like, you know, your mind should be on football. You know, Taylor doesn't show up and say, hey, you know, I haven't been on camera in a while.
Exactly.
You know, CBS shows Robert Kraft a couple of times every game. or Jerry Jones every game.
And are we really better off for that?
I don't need to see them.
No. Exactly. And oh, by the way, for everybody out there, Travis Kelce's numbers with Taylor there are better than his numbers without Taylor there, okay?
Taylor just plus minus.
Just so we set that up instead of people saying, oh, she shows up and Travis plays bad. No, he doesn't, though he did have two drops in the last game.
Where do you stand on this as we move? She might be a villain here if Kansas City loses.
She was when they went to Baltimore, too. Like, that was finally the fan base that was like, oh, yeah, no, we're going to throw rocks at this whole situation, which I get. It's this point in the postseason. They are the team. And to Dad's point about what they're going to represent to a lot of people, like, I don't know if we're going to get to a point where anyone can really be America's team anymore because everyone's so exposed now. For these guys, theirs is different because he's transcended. Like, I would, sports stories, you guys have seen Break Contain at some point. When you start to see him talked about on GMA and the shows that are outside of our bubble, they've broken Contain both with this relationship and with that combination of, in a helmet sport, Travis has been one of the guys whose face you've gotten to know because of the podcast, because of the relationship. And so they've got a chance to reach more casual eyeballs than most, but I think because everyone's so exposed and because these guys are now the stopper on top of a conference for a lot of people, i.e. Buffalo, whose happiness is being really affected by the fact that Patrick Mahomes and these Chiefs exist.
I find it interesting that this is probably the best matchup, but the matchup that we didn't want. That they didn't have the storylines that I think if Buffalo was here against Detroit, people would be more excited. Even though these are probably the two best teams. But it's weird how we're like, yeah, didn't we see this a couple of years ago?
Yeah, well, we did. We saw a Kansas City win there. I think one of the interesting things, and we had Mike and I had Richard Sherman on our show, and he talked about everybody loves a good underdog story except for Brock Purdy. For some reason, Brock Purdy, who has been doing great out there, we can't give him the love because you say, oh, he's got four or five people to dish the ball out to. Well, yeah, so what? Most players have great players around them as well. But I'm with you because we're going to talk about Mahomes. We're going to talk about Brock Purdy. But this, like the AFC Championship game, could be a game talked about on defense. And that's like a swear word to anybody else except for, like me, a former defensive player. I love seeing great defense, and you may get that here.
Yeah, I think having that underdog of if Buffalo and Detroit, somebody's going to get their first Super Bowl.
Right, right.
And it's interesting, though, that people are like, you know, there's no buzz here. But these are the two best teams.
They are.
And it feels like the media will probably, you know, enhance the Taylor Swift thing because maybe we've been down this road with all these different storylines, with Mahomes, with Kelce. But the Brock Purdy one, he didn't get this chance last year. Now he gets this chance. And I've said before, I think he's got to win two Super Bowls, Mike, before people give him credit. Not one. I think they'll go, okay, all right, let me see you do it again.
We went through this with Peyton Manning, right? I mean, and it still blows my mind, and I know it's a topic nobody cares to discuss anymore, but why do we put Super Bowl wins with quarterbacks when there's offense, defense, special teams, wins and losses? I never understood that, but regardless of what I think, that's where we are. I mean, it comes down to the number, so I think they could have been there last year. Brock Purdy doesn't get his elbow hurt, but I'm with you. You know, nowadays for quarterbacks, we keep talking about that with Aaron Rodgers, right? He could use another one as well, even though he's walking into the Hall of Fame. That numbers count for quarterbacks.
I think Brock is such an interesting, because it's multiple conversations happening at once with Brock, with everybody just jumping into the fray, because there is, oh, he's a great story. He has outperformed his draft status. He has maxed out his physical ability. He is running this offense much better than his predecessor, Jimmy Garoppolo. For all the people who want to say, well, Kyle was able to get Jimmy Garoppolo to be a winning quarterback in the postseason, their numbers are not really comparable in the postseason. Brock is a markedly better quarterback, especially we've seen late in games in this postseason. But that then gets him, because of the team success, into these MVP conversations where now you're staring eye to eye with Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes and quarterbacks. He is very much not at this juncture as a second-year player who was the last pick in the draft. So it's a tough eval because of that. But I hope this week we kind of do settle into, hey, this is pretty damn cool that this guy has answered the bell at every turn in a postseason where we didn't think the Niners could come back and win games, and he's done it twice in games he's played bad. That's a level of moxie from a second-year player coming off an injury that is wild.
I probably have to take credit and blame for assigning game manager to quarterbacks. It started with Alex Smith, and Alex is not my friend, but that's okay. I think we have to change game commander. Like if I dress it up a little bit, like game manager, okay, it doesn't sound good. But Like, we want to change the name of Meatloaf to something different because it doesn't sound good. Ooh. You're going to have Meatloaf, but if you change it to Meat Heaven, then Meat Mountain, then maybe we view it differently. So
Meat Mountain, I like that
one. Yes, of course.
Yeah. By the way, the Meat Mountain is a secret menu item at Arby's, and I don't recommend anyone orders it. I did it so you don't have to.
Right, thank you, Mike.
I went down in the Arby's coal mines for you, and I came out alive, but I didn't feel great about it.
There are two terms that are the F word of football: game manager and analytics. Analytics should just be redistributed as that information, analytics. It's just information that we digest and then decide what we want to do.
Yeah. By the way, Dan, to your point about rebranding it, someone, and I wish I could remember who it was and give them credit. This is not me. This is Stolen Valor from Twitter. But someone called it Game CEO. Like, you're not the manager. Okay. Like, you're a C-suite executive of this thing.
Okay.
You're out here wheeling and dealing. All right. So I'm fine. A route we go.
Yeah. I got to get away from this because I brought this up a couple of times. Bart Starr, game manager. Or, Bob Greasy, game manager.
Right.
Johnny Unitas, game manager. Tom Brady, game manager. It's not a negative, but it makes it seem like you're not talented. So that's where I get it. So if we change it to game commander, game general.
Ooh, it's up to you to do that. You have the ability.
I have the number one show
there
in America.
You do.
That's all.
Exactly.
Right. When's the last time you spanked him?
When I spanked him?
Yeah.
2 days ago?
He tried last night at dinner to take a swipe. I was the one that lead dog dessert because everyone else was afraid of it, and I'm not going to run from the fight. And I ordered this plate of ice cream, and as soon as it lands, I see him trained over in my direction.
Had a spoon.
And he went and reached, and I parried his spoon away with mine.
Ooh,
and deflected him. That was a big moment in the father-son dynamic. All of a sudden, I've denied
him. Normally, he just gives in, and now he doesn't anymore.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
Great to see you guys. Mike Sr., Mike Jr., the co-host of Gojo and Golic on DraftKings Network. We'll take a break. We're back after this in the Dan Patrick Show.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You get those pieces. Like, there was the hat. There was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, I haven't even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like Digging for Treasure or a Robot Pachinko Machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Sound the trumpets. It's horse racing time, so saddle up for all the action with DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate. Right now, new customers who download the DK Horse app get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250. Just deposit $25 or more and complete the playthrough requirement. Wager on your favorite horses, then watch the races live right there on the app. Download the DK Horse app now. New customers get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250 when they opt in with the code DP. Only on the DK Horse app.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus, 21 plus in certain states to open or access an account and a resident of a state where DK Horse is available. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Match calculated on first deposit up to a maximum of $250. Deposit requires two-time playthrough of settled wagers within 168 hours. Bonus released in $25 increments. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. See terms at dkhorse.com.
Best and worst of the weekend. What you saw that you liked, you didn't like over the weekend. My thanks once again to Mike Golic Sr., Mike Golic Jr. Known them a long time. All right, I want to thank our audience. They're hanging through. We got rain.
Yeah.
That doesn't stop them.
It's like college game day.
Yes, yes. They are, they're out there, and we appreciate their loyalty with the show. All right, best and worst of the weekend. We'll go around the room. Todd, I'll start with you. What's your best and worst of the weekend?
Best of the weekend in College Park, Maryland on Saturday. I was Caitlin Clark, 38 points, 12 assists.
You knew Paulie was going to pick that.
There's a million things going on over the weekend in sports. 93-85 victory over the Terps, putting her just...
Why didn't you pick one of those other million things?
Putting her just 66 points away from passing Kelsey Clark for the most career points. All right. Worse, Steph Curry scores 60 in Atlanta Saturday night, becoming the 10th player in NBA history with multiple 60-point games, but...
Who did he give the jersey to?
I don't know. That wasn't my butt.
Wait, but that's
that
the
was part of the story?
Yes. Of all the people that he could give a jersey to after he scores 60 points, there is a reboot of a movie that she's in that is popular now.
Oh!
What?
Mean Girls, Lindsay Lohan.
Yes. Bloop, 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 Lindsay Lohan.
She's back, Lindsay Lohan. It's good to see
you. You're serious?
Back.
Yes.
Lindsay Lohan's got a jersey from Steph Curry?
Yes.
Huh. How random.
I would lie to you, but not this audience there, of course.
I got to give you the butt part of my worst of the week.
Okay, you're still going? Okay.
But the Warriors still lost to the Hawks in overtime, 141-134, even with the 60 points. Wasn't enough.
And Lindsay Lohan
And Lindsay
there.
Lohan.
Yeah. Marvin, what did you learn? Our best and worst of the weekend?
First best, our girl, Juju Watkins.
USC.
USC freshman scored 51 points. USC scored 67 as a whole. She scored 51 of them.
Okay.
They upset number 4 ranked Stanford. Worst of the weekend, Doc Rivers being named coach of the Eastern Conference All-Star team, even though he's 0-3 as the Bucks head coach.
All right.
What's wrong with me being a coach of a team? What's the big deal?
No, I was going to set you up. I was going to say, let's go to Doc Rivers and get his thoughts on that.
I appreciate that, Marvin.
All right.
Why should I be the coach?
We're going to work out the timing. We're going to be better tomorrow.
I think we will.
Yeah, I think so. Seton,
I'm actually happy that Todd just jumped in, because usually you set him up. There's a 5-second pause, and then you're like, Todd, that's where you do the impression.
Okay. Seton, that's very true. Seton, best or worst of the weekend?
My best of the weekend was actually part of the Grammys last night. Tracy Chapman doing Fast Car.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a song. The cover's fine, whatever. But Tracy Chapman doing that again, I think the first time in like 15 years she sung that. That's a hell of a song. That was a great performance.
And finally getting the recognition that she deserved, but it took the country version of that with Luke Combs to get her some publicity.
Maybe remind people that she is a hell of an artist.
Yeah.
Do a quick, plain movie review, if you want. I jumped in on Equalizer 3. I haven't seen 1 or 2, so I wasn't sure if I could pick up the story.
No.
Turns out Denzel is just kind of a badass.
He is, yes.
And runs through Sicily, I believe.
He means business there.
And he does a lot of, like, mouth acting in that movie. He's sort of like, whenever he's thinking, he, like, bites in on his bottom lip. I found it to be very odd. Mm. I was like, why did he choose that for this character? That when he just shot, like, a whole cartel full of people, and he goes...
Maybe the next Sandler movie I do, I'm going to try
that.
That's
little,
how the great actors do it.
You should channel Denzel Moore in your roles. That would be great. Yeah. It was good, though. And then I started watching Book of Eli, because, Marvin, you'll appreciate this. I got lost in the Celebrate Black Voices category on the movie.
Let's celebrate Black Voices.
Black Voices.
But March 1st?
The entire...
Move, everybody.
The entire
that category
month of
won't
February.
Exist on March 1st.
No,
this month
nope.
It does.
It's leap year, too. Ooh, 29 days? Oh, thanks, guys.
If you're on a flight on the 28th and it's going overseas...
Oh!
6 hours ahead.
Sorry.
Gotta pull it.
Final hour, coming up.
Do the right thing, set over.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.